Blog Talk Radio.
Go crazy. Hold up. Wait. Stop. Stop. Go crazy. Hold up. Hold up. Wait. Stop. Now go crazy. Hell back.
Hell back.
Not no more.
Not no more.
Came back.
Came back.
Settle the score.
Settle the score.
Me be you.
Me be you.
One on one.
One on one.
Ain't no stopping.
Ain't no stopping.
What's begun?
What's begun?
Foundation. Hard work. Determination. Demonstrated. Brick laid. Long nights. Overstayed. Never played. Insane. Don't justify. I just wanna make a song cry. Let it speak. Loud and clear. No pain. No fear. Ambition. Sound vision. Cooked in the lab. My words missing. Vocal tracks don't overload. Just how I seen it unfold. Not twisted. Not tangled. I'll leave your tooth mangled. Unrecognizable. Bird box. No blindfold. Bust back. Doom, doom, doom. Solid, not see-through. You have no idea of what I just might do. Capsize your boat. Burn down your hotel. Get all I got. Send you to hell. Hold up.
Hold up.
Hold up. Wait. Stop.
Stop.
Now go crazy. Hold up.
Hold up.
Wait. Stop.
Stop.
Now go crazy. Hold up. Hold up. Wait. Stop.
Stop.
Now go crazy. Hold up. Hold up.
The Real Spill Show was brought to you by the pop-up shop at Arden Mall, Chandler & Company, J-Spot Kitchen, Rags Rolling Papers, Nikki's Dollar Jewelry & More, Sky Cloud Dispensaries, It's My Hair Hair Salon, Fade 'Em Up Barbershop. To be a sponsor on our show, email us at olhent@gmail.com. Thank you.
Yeah, this is the Real Spill Show. I'm your host, B.I.G. O'Meezy, Big O'Meezy, the great communicator on another Talk Back Tuesday. Man. So happy to be back. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. It's dark and gloomy out this way. It's been raining for the last couple of days. It was sunny on Saturday, I must say. Saturday, my homie Young Shan, we did a soft opening for his food truck, Shania's, over in the South area in South Sacramento on Foreign Road. Shout out everybody that came through. It was like this third Saturday. And basically our menu for the food truck is basically we've been working like a year and a half I've been helping him like a year and a half getting this truck together, getting all the fryers, just getting the menu together, everything like that. And actually him getting his confidence up. You know what I mean? He really wasn't supposed to be there, but his brother was egging him on to go ahead and let that be the first time we brought the truck out, and that's what we did. I went on here. I was like, I wasn't doing nothing, so I was like, all right, let me get up, let me come help the homie. You know, little did I know, I was on the fries all damn day. We was doing loaded fries, shrimp, and all kinds of shit. It was jumping, man. It was fun. It was good to see him active and in his element, and at the same time launch his food truck. So I know I could just see us doing a lot of different events. You know, if I ain't busy, if I ain't on the road, I know for a fact I'm going to be pulling up, because it's just something different, and it's always good to bring a different type of experience, you know, just to life in general. You know what I mean? So shout out to Young Sharon, brand new food truck. You go on my Instagram and go on my Facebook and stuff, you're going to see pictures from the event. You know, all kind of people showed up, bought their plates, enjoyed it. We posted it, shit like that, man. It was wonderful, man. So it was good. I hope everybody had an excellent weekend. Like I said, today's guest, we got the homie Mims, straight up out of NYC. You know what I'm saying? You don't know who Mims is. He done had number one records on Been in the Game for many moons, put down multiple demonstrations. So he's going to be coming on in the second half of the show, unless we go overtime, and most likely if it's it, you know, the way we get down, it's real good conversation. So, you know, we make sure that if we have to, we go over time. The number to call in is 563-999-3678, 563-999-3678. And since it's Talk Back Tuesday, I want to make sure that everybody, if you have a subject that you want to talk about, don't be afraid to call in. Even if you're just going to call in and say what's up, you know what I'm saying? And it's okay. I don't, you know, but you know, between now and also we got the homie DJ Johnny Bang. He did a special tribute mix for Mims, so that's going to be coming in a minute also. And we're going to be playing some new music. There's so much stuff that's going to be jumping off today. Y'all just, you know, stay tuned, you know, just stay, you know, just basically just stay tuned. Turn your speakers up, put your headphones on, get your food, get your plate. And when we come back, we're going to get off into this Talk Back Tuesday. You know what I'm saying? It's the Real Spill Show. It's Big Ol' Meezy. It's Talk Back Tuesday. And this is what the hell we do. Hello.
Hella times around the block, the most incredible things. Couple decades in the game, Big O, he be where it's at. Went from silent to vocal, started out in the back, but then he blossomed like a bud, sprouted and grew all this pot. Spread my wings like a sparrow, you think it's close but it's not. Let's keep it gully, buddy, I ain't talking fortune and fame, but you can bet your bottom dollar they'll remember my name. I see you moving, that's good, out there pursuing your dreams. So many levels in this thing, make sure you got the right team. With every chapter that's written, listen and learn from a G. Some of the best that ever did it, been through it just like me.
You've done a lot of good things, but you ain't on my level. Get on my level. You've done a lot of good things, but you ain't on my level. Get on my level, get on my level.
Are you solid, not solid? Do you stand on your word? When you speak, are you prolific? Far from being absurd. You can peep my resume, see if I check all the boxes. I don't be where I'm not welcome, hang around with the toxic. Fake, phony, baloney, tell me I'm wrong, where's the lie? You can't tell me no dreams, feed me no pie in the sky. I'm who the people can trust, and I will say I'm the best. I walk around like Superman, I got no S on my chest. But I'm gon' stay being vocal, the focal point where I'm needed. Humble and hungry, achieving that unpolite and conceited. Yeah, I come with some drippy, sticky, and blow with the best. But don't compare me with no lame or lump me in with the rest.
You've done a lot of good things, but you ain't on my level. Get on my level. You've done a lot of good things, but you ain't on my level. Get on my level. Get on my level.
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get an amen?
Can I get an amen?
Can I get a witness?
Yo, can I get a witness?
Can I get an amen?
Can I get an amen?
You've done a lot of good things, but you ain't on my level. Get on my level. You've done a lot of good things, but you ain't on my level. Get on my level. Get on my level.
Hey, yo, what's good? It's your guy, B.I.G. Ol' Meezy. Big Ol' Meezy, the great communicator. Sick with it, Lieutenant. Sick with it, Deputy. The whole thing, man. And you listening to The Real Spill Show. And did you know we available right now to subscribe on Apple Podcasts? Man, do yourself a favor, man. Do us a favor. Go ahead and subscribe. Appreciate it.
Check this happening. If y'all know who I am by now, motherfucker, you should. I go by the name of Position. And right now, you about to listen to my new single featuring my bro, Big Ol' Meezy, called The Shit. right here on the Real Spill Show, bitch.
Nigga, this sound crazy. Position. Big on me. Yeah. I think it back in this bag, bitch. When it comes to this hustling, I'm out here on my Randy Savage. Oh yeah, gotta put some elbow into this shit. Whole lot of leg work when you out here making that grip. I ain't got time to rest for no tools or fuels. I refuse to lose in this bitch. I go hard. Like some 12-inch woofers in your classic car. No gassing niggas up, I'm known to take it far. No rearview mirrors here to practice looking hard. I'm fully charged. Gotta watch all my investments. But at the same time, gotta watch them niggas trying to block my blessings. Just watch me press and keep it stepping.
I ain't testing, mama blessing. Smith and Wesson teaching lessons. Lip professing, keep them guessing. Chess and checkers like a reverend.
It's the shit. It's the shit that make you wanna make a green. Back your paper. To the ceiling, huh? Yeah, it's the shit.
It's the shit.
It's the shit that make you wanna hit a lead.
Fuck the haters, make a killing.
Oh, all about my paper, ho.
Oh.
Let me hit my nigga, Big Ol' Meezy up in Sacramento. Tap in one time, what's on your mail?
I'm thinking more money, more
money, more
bangin' reload,
bangin' reload.
Watching getting the mo,
getting the mo.
Total control.
This is dedicated to my hustlers and my goons. Niggas been making moves since they came about the womb. Fuck the slow lane, nigga, I've been living life on Zoom. Ain't no fucking squares around here, we shaped and grown. Two niggas out the ghetto swerving the city to overseas. Went from triple beans to going places you never seen.
Position them big ol' knees, we the ones that wanna be. Not that shit that's on TV, real life is just quick to squeeze.
It's the shit, it's the shit, it's the shit that make you wanna make a green.
Back your paper to the ceiling,
huh? Yeah, it's the shit,
it's the shit,
it's the shit that make you wanna hit a lead.
From the haters make a killing.
Oh, I'm on my boss, boss, CEO, pimped out shit. With a pocket full of money and some more we can get.
It's the shit,
it's the shit,
it's the shit that make you wanna make a green.
Back your paper to the ceiling,
huh?
Friday, Saturday, on my favorite day. You know the activity.
Hey, hey. What's up? This is your super producer, folks, Senior L. Blaps Bastard Lee, a.k.a. Rick Rock, the Northern Cali King of Slappers. Yeah, man, you tune in to my folks, Big Ol' Meezy, man, in the Real Spill Show. Big Ol' Meezy, give me that real spillage for the village, man. Yodel!
And you do know that, and you do know that. That was the homie Position you just heard earlier. Hey, it's out right now. It's called The Shit, featuring Big Ol' Meezy, yours truly. And you just heard my partner Joe Millionaire with the Players Activity, and you know he had to tap in on this Good Talk Back Tuesday. Joe, what's up, family?
Oh, man, I'm just happy to be here, man, one day at a time. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, we steady at it, man. You know, I took a year and a half off, man, to get my shit together. But you know, okay. We had to bring it back. You know, we had to bring it back, man, so we can all have this outlet so we can come together when we want to and say what we want to or do what we want to on the real spill, man.
Oh, yes, surgery, man. Yes, surgery, man. Gamed up, man. I'd like to thank you for this opportunity just to be heard and spread the word.
So what's been up with you?
Oh, you know, I've been going through a lot of transitioning in life, you know, keeping my perspective on life, because there's been a lot of death been going on since the beginning of the year, and it's inevitable. We have a born date and we have a death date, and what I've been dealing with is healing, just going through the process of just healing, and not giving up on the process of trying to heal from disappointment, from setbacks, from, you know, adversity, from challenges, because life is challenging, especially when you lose loved ones close to your heart, especially if you lose a friend or just pretty much anybody. You know, it's we're living in some trying times these last days today, and it's very important that we keep our perspective in God. Without God, I couldn't be here today. I wake up and pray for us all every day, praying, uplifting all of our families in the name of Jesus, and just asking God to continue to protect us, continue to provide for us, continue to grant us provision, and also give us some perspective on life to allow us to heal.
I mean, I couldn't have said it. I couldn't have said it no better, man. You know, I done lost my father-in-law. I done lost my closest homeboy. Like, you know, But like you said, everybody has a born date. Everybody has an expiration date. You know what I'm saying? And like you also said, having faith in God is what keeps you going in these trying times.
Balance. It's balance, because we tend to lean on our own understanding going through life, because we all have our own minds, but we're nothing without God. See, to man, we think we know the course, but God really has the course to every step that we're going to take. He's the one that's going to dictate if we're going to wake up tomorrow or not. So keeping God always at first sight, first thing in the morning, getting up, praising God and giving him his praises, it's been giving me some perspective, and it's been allowing me to heal as I continue to go through these processes of challenges of losing loved ones. I have a loved one that I am going to speak for, and they gave me 10 minutes, and I put together my my sermon right here, and I was going over this before I got online with you, and the title of that sermon, of the sermon, is Perspective. And if I can share this, what perspective is right here, I got a quick paragraph for you.
Yeah,
where it says, the way in which we see and interpret the world around us, it shapes our attitude, our belief, and our reactions to events that unfold in our lives on a daily basis. And yet perspective is not fixed or muted. It can be changed and evolve over time as we gain new insight and experiences. So what that gave me was, as we continue to go through these experiences of death, that, you know, that's inevitable, keeping our perspective and keeping our eye on the ball, which should always be God at all times.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, like they said, men sharpen men like steel sharpen steel, man. And anytime any of my brothers need me, and you know, or sisters, period, man, just, you know, we always a phone call away. But at the end of the day, you know, we all everybody going through their own little trials and tribulations. And like I said, if you remember, even during the pandemic, man, when we was on lockdown, man, it was me, you, and GB, and we was, you know, we figured out this video shit, and we was locked in, you know, and I believe that helped us a little bit with our sanity. You feel me?
Yeah, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, man. That's why I've had to play that player's activities, man. It's been too long, even since I heard it. You understand me, and that thing is still knocking. You dig?
It's still bobbleheaded, huh? Thank you.
It still make your head bobble. Hey, I got my homeboy. Hold on, let me see. My homeboy just. I got the homie Scatterman, man, the legend from Kansas City on here. Scat, what's up, Playboy?
Big old Measy, what's the deal, family? What's the deal?
Oh, man, last time I seen you, we was out in Arizona, man, trying to fight the weather.
Man, it was rough out there. It was rough, but we keep on banging, though, you know?
I'm not going to lie, man.
It's good to hear your voice, man.
Man, you better know it. I'm eager, man. I'm waiting for Eric to get all these dates together so we can go out here and beat the bushes on this tour, man. You understand me?
Man,
y'all, I want everybody to stay
cities.
Tuned. We finna beat the bushes.
Coming.
You better know it, man. You bringing a brand new record. This brand new record, I was slapping it earlier, you in the dig. Let's talk about this record before I jam it for everybody.
Let's get it in. Man, the song is Get It In, man. I just wanted to kind of go back to the energy where my hustle came from, where the whole tussle came from. I love what y'all was just talking about.
So if everybody don't know, you was on Strange Music, so just, you know, let it be clear.
Man,
not
on Strange Music, started Strange Music. First artist ever signed to Strange Music. I'm talking about it ain't my house, but you know a house ain't a house without a foundation, and I got bricks all around the foundation of that thing, you know.
Man.
We came in 2001 when the record label was still in Travis O'Glenn, the CEO, when it was in his basement, and we used to go pick up flyers and CDs out the garage. Like, we came from that time where, you know, we had to pull up in our rental cars and fill up the trunk with CD samplers and flyers and go city to city and jump out at the gas stations and, you know, spread the word that way. We came from that.
So that was
the
before the big tour buses, before the tour buses and all,
man,
that shit.
Tour buses.
Wait,
man,
did y'all have hotel rooms?
We was back to back.
Did y'all have hotel rooms?
We get a shower room.
We get one
room. Everybody coming and we go get a bunch of towels from the front desk. Everybody come in, shower. We go back and jump in the rentals and go to the next city. We was doing shows like that initially. And then the first big tour was like a Fire and Ice tour with Paul Wall on it. And we did the Absolute Power tour. And we rented like Miley Cyrus's tour bus. And that was when we felt like we was actually moving forward. But to be 100, man, we was pulling money out of our own pocket. It wasn't,
man.
The label wasn't really a label. It had a business name and it had people, but we was all supporting each other out the pocket. We was beating the streets, bringing that brown paper bag money back and saying, all right, we're going to pay for the rooms with this. We're going to pay for
the
merch
with
that.
Let me ask you this. You a Kansas City Chief?
Man, all day. All day. Now I don't care for Patrick Mahomes. I ain't a Patrick Mahomes fan. He's too soft for me, man. I like a gritty quarterback.
Ooh.
I need somebody going to take their helmet off and put hands on you. He's talented.
Oh.
He all that, but he ain't. Nah, he don't represent the streets of the city where I'm from. He represent the other side of town.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
y'all got
two Super Bowls. You're going to enjoy those Super Bowls, though, right?
Oh, man, I enjoy the parade every time, and I love the fact that they, you know, that they doing it. I just, you know, we grew up a different way. It's a different time now. Things are real soft, and, you know, everybody's friends and shake hands. We grew up in the era where if you play for the other team, we don't do no rapping. We don't do no handshaking. We don't do no – and I'm just kind of stuck in the way that I was raised. I'm one of them dinosaurs.
I'm stuck in my way.
I'm a dinosaur. Yes, sir.
Well,
yes,
let's
sir.
Get into this record, babe. Get it in. Brand new Scatterman. It's the Real Spill Show. Stay tuned. You y'all.
watch.
One more time. I'm about to hit y'all with another Hustler's anthem. Scatter Man. My people's counting paper, the product's on the stove. I guess we back to pushing O's. Fuck it, let's get it in. Let's get it in. Let's get it in. Let's get it in. Hustling all day, grinding all night. We pledge allegiance to this life. Tell them we get it in. We get it in. We get it in. We get it in. 90 pounds on the table, 9 trash bags. Please excuse me, I was just having a flashback. Make sure that it balanced, put a nickel on the digital. Focus on your moves, cause every move you make is critical. Death around the corner, but the dope is on the front porch. Thanks to the FedEx man, now let the blunt torch. It's a celebration, homie, put your glasses up. Ladies, if you're listening, face down, toot them asses up. Whips, no rims, cause we bigger than ice. No watches, no chains, this is bigger than life. Scatter Man, Southside, and I'm the underboss. Take your time and count that again, nigga, your number's off. I think I'm Big Meech, Larry Hoover. But I ain't, I'm just a hustler with a loaded Ruger. And an attitude, plus I had too many vodkas. You make me nervous, I'ma introduce you to this chopper. My people's counting paper, the product's on the stove. I guess we back to pushing O's. Fuck it, let's get it in. Let's get it in. Y'all really know about no water, no lights, serving out the Yoda house.
Scatter, what's the Yoda house?
The spot we push the Yoda out, put it in the pot, whip it up and take the overs out. Hide a couple of them in the attic waiting for the drought. I hid a couple of them in the attic waiting for the drought. Went up on my prices so I could stack more. Pit bull in the front, two by the back door. Don't know me, faggot, I'm OG stash.
Y'all, this is E40 Belafonte Bellagiano Bellwether, and you're listening to my partner, Big Ol' Meezy. You understand me? Yeah, man. Yeah, on the Real Spill Show, man. Yeah, man.
That was brand new Scatter Man. Get it in. Be on the lookout for myself, Big Ol' Meezy, Scatter Man, and the homeboy Mims that's about to be on a little bit later. We're going on the Back In Session Tour. You smell me? We just did a big show out in Flagstaff. You know what I'm saying? It was us, the same three, and it was Lil Flip, and it was Twista, You see me? I mean, we went out there and put down the demonstration. So we already seen it and formulated it in our mind, right, Scott, that we was go. It's time to get it in and get out here and get back in session. You see me? I mean, so
absolutely,
hey,
man.
That's a slapper right there. That's a slapper right
man,
there.
Thank you, family. Thank you, family. We had to take it back to where the grit came from. And we got big bro Eric Hawk, the same guy to put the 1,000 shows together, helped put 1,000 shows together for the Strange Music Movement, and afterwards, Gary put this together. So when he tell us we going to go do 40, man, you can bet that we going to go do 40. He putting it together as we speak. So it was
I see
a great
Mims,
vibe.
I see Mims just tapped in. I see Mims just tapped
up,
in.
Man,
so already.
that's little big brother, man. That's little big brother, man.
You better know
nothing,
it.
Nothing but love and respect.
And you do, hey, so I want to talk about just for a second. You got some new developments out there that you're doing real estate, right?
Man, real estate been my hustle since I got out. You know, when I went and got locked up and came home, before we even started recording the album, I bought my first flip. And that was 2000. And I've just been on and off on the flips. And now I got into the new construction, residential and multifamily. So what I've been doing is getting with developers. They'll buy, you know, acre and a half, 2 acres, whatever they buy. They designate how many lots they want to sell. And, you know, I might buy 2 or 3 in that subdivision and build me 2 or 3 homes. It doesn't have to be my subdivision. You know what I mean? I don't have to be the developer. Just come in as a builder,
hard.
Build my couple, dump them, go to the next one that they develop. So I done kind of learned how to play my part, man. I don't got to have a whole piece of. I just need a couple of slices.
That's hard. That's hella hard. Well, I'm so proud of you, and I can't wait till we hit this road. Any new music, man, you already know. How can everybody reach you? What's your tell them your Instagram and your social real quick.
Man, everything is I am Scatterman. IAMSKATTERMAN. I really be on the Insta. Everything else is kind of, you know, here or there, but Insta, I'm on it all day, so you can hit me there. I appreciate you, brother. Man, love linking with you, man, and I appreciate what you said. Iron sharpens iron,
yeah.
Men sharpen men, and we definitely did some sharpening. So I'm looking forward to this tour, sitting down and talking on some grown man perspective and putting some things together.
All the time. Hell yeah. Appreciate you, brother. All right, y'all. We got this DJ Johnny Banks special Mims mix coming up, and then we got the homeboy Mims coming on to drop some game on us, man. It's the Real Spill Show, man. Hello.
The best music right now. It's DJ Johnny Bear.
Represent New York, I got it on my back. Niggas say that we lost it, so I'ma bring it back. I love the dirty, cause niggas show me love. The ladies start to bounce as soon as I hit the club. But in the Midwest, they love to take it slow. So when I hit the H, I watch them get it on the floor. And if you need it hypey, I take it to the Bay. Bristol to Sac Town, they do it a day. Compton to Hollywood, as soon as I hit L.A. I'm in that low, I do what the Cali way. And when I hit the shot, people say that I'm fly. They love the way I dress, they like my attire. They love how I move crowds from side to side. They ask me how I do it and simply I reply.
This is why I'm hot, this is why I'm hot. This is why, this is why, this is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot, this is why I'm hot. This is why, this is why, this is why I'm hot. I'm hot cause I'm fly. You ain't cause you not.
Why I'm hot, catch me on the block. Every other day another push, another drop. 16 bars, 24 pop. 40 for a song, nigga, give me what you got. I'm in the driving car, crush up off the lot. I'm in the shutting doors down so I can shop. If you need a bird, I could get it chopped. Tell me what you need, you know I get them by the flock. By the flock, by the flock, by the flock.
If you want it, if you want it, move, move. If you want it, if you want it, if you want it, move, move. If you want it, if you want it, if you want it, move, move. If you want it, move, move. If you want it, move,
move. If you want it, if you want it.
Knowing I'm their father like my name is Dark Vader. I can get you hemmed up while I'm being tailored. Then I slide off to the side like a faker. Homie, I'm the president, governor, and major. I control everything like a dictator. Get you biz marked up, turn you into vapors. If you got a problem, get you swallowed like a chaser. Model on my arm, no homie, I don't have to pay. All I have to do is tell her where I want to take her. Catch us out in Italy, then we in Jamaica. Caught up in the rapture, like Anita Baker. When I roll up on you, it's like a skater. Move if you wanna when you see that red laser. No matter how you move, bet that infrared'll chase ya. Then I keep it moving, homie, see you later. Mips!
Move if you wanna, if you wanna, if you wanna move. Move if you wanna, if you wanna, if you wanna move. Move if you wanna, if you wanna.
Tryna have a little fun, maybe move a couple numbers. But when you move in numbers, all the haters start to wonder. Then they talk behind your back, and they breath they speaking under. Man, I'm hot like the sun, like the middle of the summer. Strike down in a flash, where you can call me Thunder. Chicks call me Phil Drummond, cause I give them different strokes. Bah, 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 beat it up like a drummer. They can call it one hit wonder, but I guess that means I'm one up. Light a match, play with fire, that just means you gon' get run up. In a river where you turn up, cause they see I'm on the come up. But it's our turn now, if you want it, take it from us. I don't need no goons by me, if you want it, come and try me. We can do this broad day, in the middle of the lobby. They say that they the shit, when they barely just a potty. When they problems turn to probably, and they probably turn to sorry. Sorry, tell them.
You know what it is when it is when we do what we do. If good girl get down on the floor, tell me how low will a bad girl go. She probably pick it up, drop it down real slow. Either that or she's upside down on the pole. That's when I grab the knot, throw it up in the sky. Let it come down slow, watch it all fly. Front to the back, then side to the side. Then we head back to my crib for the night. That's how it goes down, all night long. She whispered in my ear, said she loves my song. This is why I'm hot, she got it on the phone. Top 10 down low, number one ringtone. I'm in my zone, tell me what's good, what it be. Can't say I'm what you want, but I got what you need all night. It's alright, we could dance, but you gotta keep it up a little something like this. Like this, like this, like this, like this, like this, like this, like this.
Baby, do you wanna like this, like this, like this, like this, like this, like this, like this?
Look, tell me if you want it like this.
If you want to, you can back it up. You say you like it rough, won't you let me smack it up? Palm on your ass, that's if you let me touch. I don't care about your breasts, you could be an A cup. I know what I like, and baby, that's below the waist. I'm a baller, baby, I hold it safe. I got about 10 lawyers to blow the case, so we don't gotta worry about those who hate. I'm like the 2007 Nino. Dropped a few G's on my shirt like Gino. Homie, don't act like you know what I mean. No, see, I'm the freshest motherfucker on the scene, though. Back of the club, all night long. Grandma and yay, pop a case of the Dom. Shorty says she love it when I let her call me Sean. So if you really down, baby, we can get it on.
Like this, 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 like this.
Baby, do you wanna like this, 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 like this?
Now,
break it down.
Gimme, 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 gimme.
Say what?
Gimme, 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 gimme.
Say what?
Gimme, 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 gimme.
Say what?
Gimme, 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 gimme. Gimme, 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 gimme.
Say what?
Gimme, 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 gimme.
Say what?
Gimme, 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 gimme.
Gimme that, all of that, break it down. Girl, shake it up, now drop it to the ground. You're way too high, go a little lower. Now baby, beat it up like Rocky Balboa. Yeah, that's what I said, shorty, go ahead. Show me what you got, here's a little more bread. You know how I shine, 100 on the wrist. If you like what you see, then you gotta keep it up a little something.
Like this, like this, like this, like this, like this, like this, like this.
Like this. What's up, motherfucker? This that nigga Daz Dillinger, and you're right here kicking it, doing it real big, as we do every motherfucking day. Yeah, nigga. The Dog Pound is in the motherfucking house. And this the Real Spill Show with my nigga Big Ol' Meezy, with Daz Deezy and the motherfucking Heezy. You bitch.
And if you don't know, now you know. Now you just got familiar with the homeboy Mims. If you thought something different, now you motherfucking know. Make some motherfucking noise for the man, the myth, the motherfucking legend. You know what I'm talking about? In the motherfucking building. In the Real Spill. Make some noise for the homeboy Mims, man.
What it is, man. Big Ol' Meezy, what up, man? What's good, brother?
What's up? What's happening? Hold on, man. Let me give you your lap, your claps. Hey. Hey, first of all, when I talked to you earlier about and you was like 7:30, you typed it, you said 10:30 my time, right? Sorry, because when I book, I be forgetting that some of my folks be gone and shit like that, like in eastern hemispheres of the earth and shit like that.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you, brother. I truly.
Nah, that's all good. I'm a dad now, so you know some of them times be like, all right, we cool. But I mean, I'm good, man. It's 10:30 and it ain't that late on this side, and you know, I'm always appreciative, man. I'm always appreciative of the platforms that I get to speak on. So thank you for having me on the show.
Man, it's my pleasure. First and foremost, I knew you. I was like, oh, he's a raw ass nigga, because when we was out in Flagstaff, when we was having them little technical difficulties, right? And then we all was backstage, and we was all trying to figure it out. And you was over here, you know, usually, you know, Mims could be in the dressing room somewhere in the back, minding his own business, and creating a new app or some shit, you know what I'm saying? You know, closing some big deal. But, you know, Mims was out there with us trying to figure this shit out because he knew and understand if we don't get the sound right, the whole shit is over with anyway. So it's like,
exactly.
That's when we all came together like Voltron, right?
Exactly. Nah, honestly, I've been putting studios together since I was 15. That was like my passion when I was growing up. So like, you know, I kind of understand the whole wiring system and, you know, the mechanics of music. So once you get a understanding for that, for that day, I definitely wanted to help out. I know we still rocked on anyway. We still had a good time, but, you know, you gotta put your hands in everywhere. I was once told that the artist should be the promoter. They should be the manager. They should understand every facet of the business. So, you know, I'm just playing my part. That's all.
Now, of course, I want to go back to the beginning because I'm a little bit older than you, but at the end of the day, being that you from New York, you have a more earthy vision of hip hop probably than somebody like me from the West Coast, because you was around a lot more of the OGs. I came up a couple of the first hip hop artists that I listened to was Roxanne, you know what I'm saying, Roxanne Shante, you know, UTFO, mm-hmm. Houdini, you know, Too Short, shit like that.
But what were the who were the influences in your neighborhood that made you want to rap?
You know what's so crazy? This is wild to me because when you bring up the names, obviously these are all pioneers from hip hop coming out of New York, especially, and this is where you know obviously they say the culture was born. And when I kind of got adopted to music, I was really on that West Coast flavor. So like I was N.W.A. I was, you know, the original Chronic album, Cypress Hill, you know, when Snoop dropped the Doggy Style album. So ironically, while you got influenced by, you know, music from the East Coast, man, I was actually influenced by music from the West Coast as my first, like, the Doggy Style album was my first album I ever got to buy. You know, and I think I had the non-explicit version. So, you know, that was one of my first albums I got to actually, the first CDs I got to buy.
Now, you really do be gassing, your style is different. And I must say, even with This Is Why I'm Hot, because, you know, I'm sick with it, of course, and I've been on the road with 40 my whole life. So, actually, when the hyphy movement cracked and we heard your part saying about the hyphy movement, bro, it really boosted us. I want people to really all the way to know that and understand that. It was like two things that really boosted us. It was what you said when I'm in the Bay, you know, about the hyphy, and it was Kanye when he got on the Tell Me When to Go remix. So it was like a you know, lightning in a bottle between the two of y'all. I just want you to all the way, you know, if you didn't know that, man, we really appreciated that mention, because you know, from somebody of, you know, especially at that time with your stature, a number one rap record and all that shit, you know, for somebody like us who was trying to, you know, claw, you know, actually E-40 trying to claw his way all the way back like that, man, that was a hell of an alley-oop, bro, on real, because really. You didn't have to do that for everybody that you cut up in there.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna tell you why. Actually, I actually shouted out. I did the roll call in the record. So, in 2003, I had went on tour, my first like national tour ever. I was touring with Method Man, and we did obviously the East Coast, you know, which I was pretty used to. Then we went to the South, and I was also already familiar with the South. Like, my grandparents had lived in Florida, so I was already familiar with the South. But I'd never, ever in my life been to the West Coast. And the first, and mind you, like I said, I was so influenced by West Coast music growing up. So, like, this was like a dream to me. When I hit L.A., it was like one of the first cities we hit. And then we went up to the Bay Area, and we did the Fillmore Auditorium, and that was the first venue I ever rocked. And I don't know I'm assuming the Fillmore is either Oakland or San Fran in that area, but you know, you would know more than I would, obviously, where the venue's at. But
yeah, definitely, definitely Frisco.
And I just,
definitely Frisco.
Okay. Yeah, and honestly, like, I just remember being. Because when you step outside of New York, when you're born and raised in New York, everything you live embodies like this New York culture. New Yorkers could be somewhat arrogant, right, to the culture. Meaning, and especially hip hop, like it's usually if it's not coming from New York, it's weak, it's not good. So my mentality coming out of New York, I wasn't expecting people to actually be nice. With the movement, but also with the music. And I was so blown away by the Bay and the music and the people and the culture and the love that I received from the market. Like, you know, I was getting love from a lot of the DJs out there, you know, while I was there, like just hanging with them. And, you know, when I got back, there was a bit of frustration in my career where I didn't know really where I wanted to take it, but at least I wanted to create a song that dedicated to that time being on the road. So I did that whole roll call. And I'm going to be real. One of the first stations that even though it's not considered the Bay per se, was Sacramento. One of the first places that I really got embraced in was Sacramento. And I would actually fly into Sac and hang out with people just because I appreciated the culture on that side so much. So me putting that, you know, that bar in the record, and then actually sampling the Tell Me When to Go record, it's bigger than just me shouting it out. It was actually me learning the culture and me being around the culture back then. So man, I'm super super. As y'all would say on the West Coast, I'm hella appreciative. You know,
hella,
being able to
hella,
because
it's the same. It's the same over here, real life, on everything. How was it getting cleared? Did you have to go through any type of clearances? Because you had the Dr. Dre beat and shit like that. Was it hard to get cleared, or because you was in position? Because when you dropped that record, it took a minute for it to really just blow, right?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I had a lot of trouble getting it cleared. We did Mobb Deep Shook One. That was the first sample. The Tell Me When to Go record was the second sample, which if you look at the Tell Me When to Go record, that record is a sample, right? So that was sampled from Run-DMC. And then we did Nothing But a G Thing. That was Dre and Snoop. And then
right.
I did Jesus Walks, which was Kanye. So we talking about four.
Man.
I mean,
man.
I would say they all had to be like bangers, like number. I don't know if they all was number ones, but I'm sure they all chart topping records. And you know, it was a little bit difficult, but thank God, like everybody agreed to it. So if you look at the record now, even though I wrote the whole record, it still credits every single writer from every single song that we sampled. So there's a lot of writers on the record, but yeah, we ended up getting it cleared, thank God, and you know, the record. Record did its numbers.
It was the number one record in the country for quite some time. And to this day, bro, I'm going to be all the way honest with you. If I went in sec, when I turn on V101, every day on my way to the gym, bro, they playing like this, or they playing This Is Why I'm Hot, like period. Like, almost, like that's probably why I think the last show I saw you was on the same show, I think. I want to say that I saw you. Because you're usually standing somewhere by yourself. You're like, that's Vince right there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like
you be
observed. You like one of them dudes that like to just sit and observe everybody else.
I'm a fan. That particular show, it was obviously you, us. I believe Ice Cube was there, E-40, obviously.
Right.
Was it Ja Rule and Ashanti, if I'm not mistaken? I'm a fan. Like, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to watch. I mean, especially Ice Cube, like, you know, I got to perform. I mean, I've gotten to go on a road with a lot of artists in my career. I was fortunate enough to be around a lot of, like legendary icons, you know, watching them, like, from the E-40s to the Ice Cube. Cats that I would have been like, yo, this to me is like, these are the OGs, like the ones that influence the influencers. So, I'm going to sit and watch every show. How I learned how to, I mean, because, you know, when I rock a show nowadays, more or less, I'm usually by myself. And I really learned a lot from just sitting back, watching other people perform, watching the things they do to engage in the crowd and get people hyped. I'm going to always be a fan. So I'm going to go after my performance. I'm going to go right in that little side stage every time. And I'm going to peep everyone's show, no matter where I'm at.
So the Blackout movement, they did the beat, right? This is Why I'm Hot?
Yep. Shout to Blackout.
I was like, oh, no, if you want to shout them out. Because you never know. You never know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You never know. But, you know, you solid like that, so I know you, you know, for somebody, you know, and especially in this day and age, you know, people got, you know, like you see you see Master P going through shit that he went through from 10 years, 20 years ago, people bringing old shit up. You know what I'm saying? So it's like this game, the way this game is, especially now in 2023, it's like people bringing up old shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, so
yeah.
I seen your interview, like an interview you did on BET, I think it was BET, and you was talking about how even though you had the number one record and you was trying to check and it was independent, you was checking the numbers and it wasn't right. But it was, you know what I'm saying? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, for those who don't know, like the history of what happened to me in my career, there came a point where I actually just walked away from music altogether. And a lot of people don't, I mean, when I say walked away from music, I walked away from being a recording artist. And that's mainly because the first album I did, you know, we made a ton of money. We made a good amount of money on the album. We grossed a lot of money. But the first check I ever got from the label, which came like a year after the album was out, I was expecting it to be a lot bigger than what it was. And I think it was around $30,000. And for me, as crazy as it sounds, because the project itself grossed about $14, $15 million at that time. It's about $18, $19 million. And I was just like, yo, listen, man, this is, you know, this, you could probably understand this. Like you said, you grew up listening to hip hop, and for anyone who grew up listening to hip hop, that means that at some point in your life, you kind of use that as a way to, a means of getting out and you know, getting out of circumstances and being surrounded by, you know, learning from different, getting out of the unfortunate circumstances that a lot of us grow up in. So for me, it was more of a refuge, man. Like, I battled my whole life, you know, trying to make sure that I stayed straight and narrow and not did anything and not try to do anything crazy. And, you know, when you get with a company that basically disregards everything and they essentially rob you of what you deserve, it's demoralizing, man. So I decided that I wasn't going to do music commercially, because for me, that was enough for me to say, you know what, I gave y'all a lot, you know, like a lot of me, a good part of me in my career, but I didn't intend to do it just for me, you know, to not reap the benefits off of it. So I'd rather just not record at all. So it was a point in my career where I just walked away from everything and I pivoted into technology. And, you know, that's where I made the brunt of my money. And that's, I mean, even though people still know me for records like This Is Why I'm Hot, that's why I like to say that my career has progressed to, based on all the things that I've been through in the past.
Well, so earlier in the beginning, when the record was getting hot and it was saying that there was a bidding war, did the bidding war, was it like, we gave you this amount of money up front and you still got to okay, so they gave you a nice whoopty whoop in the brigade. And therefore, well, they felt like you.
Yeah, not so. So it's wild because my case was a little different, right? So what happened is, if people understand, there was a period in with my career where music went from physical, like CDs, tape cassettes, into the digital space, which is MP3s, and you know, which at that time was MP3s. Now we have streaming, but I didn't have a clause in my contract that really covered the digital side, right? It was something that was experimental at that time, and we were just going into it. What the label ended up doing was they charged me a 20% VIG on the distribution of my record digitally. So our argument was, you can't charge a 20% VIG because we already given a 30% VIG up to Apple Music, to Spotify, Apple Music at that time, because that was the big one. And then we said that was considered a double dip. That I'm getting charged for two distribution fees, because if you think about it, as an artist at that time, when you're selling a single, you're giving Apple a 30% aggregation fee. So that was one of the arguments we had, because the contract didn't precisely cover digital, and it was such a murky argument that it took 7 years to litigate. So I know people speculate and say, yo, yeah, they gave me, I think they gave me $850, but as you may know, and you understand the mechanics of a record deal, when I got an $850,000 advance, that advance was really to pay for the album that I had already recorded. So that $850,000 advance immediately went to the production of the album. So that means the producers, the mixing, the mastering, and all the other things that came with putting the album together, clearing the samples, et cetera, et cetera. So that wasn't necessarily an advance. It was more like a bonus, I would like to say, because I had the hottest record on radio, you know, independently, and every single label was chasing me for a deal. You know, it just so happens, like I said, that because I did a partnership instead of – I didn't sign as an artist. I did a partnership with Deal. We partnered up 50-50. There was no clause in there that covered digital rights.
and it was very vague. So a lot of people got it misconstrued. They think, oh, well, he didn't read his contract or he didn't. But I actually did read the contract, and that's why we made that compelling argument. And that's why we took it as far as going to the appellate court, the Supreme Appellate Court in New York. So, you know, I learned a lot from that as an artist. And the crazy thing is that when you start opening up these doors to where you start seeing how money starts disappearing, what I really started learning is just systematically how the labels end up robbing artists in every different way, because that's just one way of doing it. You know, there's a whole plethora of other ways that they do it. I'm not saying that the label is the evil empire. I'm just saying as an artist, it's almost impossible sometimes to make sure that you're getting treated with respect because it's just not designed that way. So I went through what I went through, and immediately I got out of that industry, and I wanted to get myself into something that would help people in my industry benefit. So like I said, I started with technology. That's where I am now, and I usually focus on music-based technology. So anything that helps an artist push their situation forward.
So you did multiple albums with multiple different record labels, but you still was making slaps though. Yeah, I think that this is why I'm High was like so huge. And even you say number one ringtone, it was like a mm-hmm. perfect storm where you catching the ringtone vibe going into the streaming vibe. Which, you know, a lot of people probably, like, I think Crime Mob did the same thing where they sued, and then after, like, years, I think it's about 7 years, they ended up splitting, like, 50K or something like that.
Yeah, it's wild, man. I mean, we hear about these horror stories all the time. And, you know, it's just a testament to say that I mean, and here's the truth, right? Like I remember, you know, a few months back, there was an argument about how there's certain people who are running the music industry. There was a point in the music industry where it was a mutually beneficial relationship, right, between the artist and the record labels. There was a point where things were mutually beneficial. Nowadays, if you're an artist, really you have the ability to build your fan base on your own. You got social media that you could work with. You know, you got the ability to distribute your music. Yeah, the payments aren't as big as they were back then, but the truth of the matter is you still got a lot more control in your hands now. So what I like to tell artists is the only reason why you should be doing a deal with a bigger company or corporation is if you basically extended everything that you can, and then you just need somebody to basically throw some more fuel on that fire, because the reality is that there's not much that you can't do for yourself that a label is going to do for you, especially if you're not – you know, if you don't got the fan base, because they're not going to, no label right now is probably signing anybody based on trying to develop them. You know, most of them are looking at artists saying, yo, if you ain't coming with your own fan base, I'm not rocking with you. So I look at that to say all a label is right now to me would be a bank. And that just means that either, A, I'm cashing out or I'm trying to basically – add more fuel to the fire that I already created myself.
Mm-hmm. So we're getting ready to embark on this tour. You never stopped touring, or did you take a break even doing shows or touring? Or you was like, oh, because they they can't touch that. They can't touch your show money. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, exactly.
Did you keep rocking, or did you take a break?
Nah. So the only break I ever took from being on the road was during the corona, this whole epidemic thing that happened, that pandemic that just occurred. Other than that, I've been touring for like the last 20 years. I mean, ever since the initial Method Man tour, every year I've been basically on the road. I stopped for like 3 years when my son was born in 2020 and the pandemic happened. I decided the pandemic stopped us all. And then 2021, 2022, when things started to open up, I decided that I still wanted to spend time at home and rock with him. But, yeah, I know we're putting something together. I think that's going to be dope. It's been a while since I've been out on the road in America, because I usually just tour international.
But I mean, you know, the love has always been here, so I'm ready for that as well.
I think we call it when we went on the N1 mixtape tour, we call it the Power Three. It's like, regardless of whom or what, if we do Tell Me When to Go, You and That Booty, and Snap Your Fingers, even when we did Madison Square Garden the last show, N1 mixtape tour, it was like the Power Three. You do them three, you're killing everything. I noticed the Flagstaff. That Power Three, like this, you know, this is why I'm high. You know, those the three Jones, killing shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like you got music in you, like slap, like tremendous slaps in you, but it was like the music business probably left such a bad taste that it probably fucked your creativity up. You think so or no?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I think, like I said, I mean, you know, my introduction to music, for those who don't know, you know, my mom passed away when I was 13. So before she passed away, the first thing the last present she ever got me was a DJ set, and that was for my 13th birthday. And she would then go on to pass away 2 months later. So when you think about that as a young man, and you know, this is something that basically. Like, you know, music for me wasn't about the business. I mean, not to say that I didn't want to make money off of it, but that wasn't the only reason why I did it. Like, I did it because it was an escape. So, of course, like, when somebody comes in and they really, like, interfere with that escape and they make you feel like you did a lot of stuff for no reason, it's going to affect everyone. I enjoy the shows because that's my time to showcase some of the records that people may not have ever heard. Or it's also my time to showcase my energy. And, you know, I like to bring a decent amount of energy when I'm on stage. You know, I will say this, too. I think that the era of music that you're talking about is like a timeless era, right? So, like, you know, Tell Me When to Go, when you're talking about You and That Booty, these are records that, like, to me, they were feel-good records. You know, you ain't have to worry about nobody shooting up no clubs. You didn't have to worry about it. Like, it was really just a movement of I'm not going to say positivity because, you know, yeah, I mean, the lyrics are the same. We talked about the same things, but the tempo and the feeling of the music was just a lot more upbeat than some of the music that we have nowadays. And I'm not knocking the sound from today, but I just know that I'm not trying to step foot in the club and feel like I got to, you know, I got to, like, stand against the wall to make sure I'm watching my back. Like, when we did Flagstaff, you know, we all just commingled with each other. There was no negativity in that place at all. And I like to be in those kind of environments, man, where black people can get together and, you know, and have a good time and party and enjoy ourselves and, you know, not have to worry, for sure.
Man, that's real talk. What is, being that it's the last day of Black History Month, what does Black History mean to you?
Yo, so I learned this maybe 2 weeks ago, right? And it blew my mind because I never thought about this things in this light. A lot of the times we revert to Black history, especially during this month, for some reason we always talk about people from the slave eras. You know, we go back 400 years ago. And I want to remind people out there that if you're African American, if you're, you know, whatever you are, whatever your culture designs you to be, our history doesn't start 400 years ago. It starts way before that. And I invite everybody to go out and, like, really just get information from the time period before we came to this country and start learning about your heritage and your culture and, you know, the whole diaspora of the black culture, because we were defined way before slavery came. So right now it's my job to, like, look into where I came from and try to gain information about whatever, you know, whatever country or tribe or whatever I was a part of prior to my ancestors coming here. And it blows my mind to think about it because, like I said, we always revert our history to the times that we got to fight. And there's no disrespect to the Malcolms and the Martins and the Frederick Douglasses and all these people, but our history is so much more profound than that. If we take a look and go back, you know, maybe go back 2,500 years ago and start learning our ancestry from that point,
and you know, we can get a different respect for who we are as a people.
Let's talk about your relationship with Wyclef. I peeped that you and Wyclef used to rock with each other in the beginning of your career.
You know what's so crazy is that's probably like I don't know. I feel like that's like a Wikipedia thing. For some reason, like, they got me paired up with Clef. Yeah, they got me paired with Clef. They got me paired up with Cameron. I know Clef. I've met Clef a couple times. Honestly, you know, he's a brilliant, brilliant producer slash artist, and slash politician at one point in time in his career. Once again, I think I met Clef. I was in Paris, and I had walked into a club, and he was sitting in there with some other gentleman, probably some billionaire dude from, because the dude was inviting me to, I forgot what country, man, somewhere south of France. So I realized, like, the OGs, they really figured out how to move during that time, and they really made a lot of relationships. And, you know, I just remember him greeting me when I walked in the club, and he showed a lot of love. So shout to Wyclef. I've always been a fan. My family's from Jamaica, so we got that culture in us. I know he's from Haiti. So shout to all the Haitians and sac passe to all the Haitian community. But the reality is, yeah, man, I got nothing but love and respect for the OGs, man, for sure.
Dope. All right, let's go to New Orleans, man. I got the homie out in Louisiana, man, GB. GB, you got a question for the homeboy Mims? Tap in one time real quick.
Man, how you doing, Mims? How you doing, my brother?
GB, how you doing, brother?
Awesome. Blessed, man. I just want to say, man, I still love that song to this day, man. This is why I'm hot. I just want to tell you that, man.
Thank you.
It's still rocking. Yes, sir. And are you coming out with any new projects? Any more new projects coming out?
You know what's so crazy? I flirted at the idea of working on something. And, you know, I may do it just to appease my soul. It may not be anything that's like on a release majorly, but yeah, because we got all these outlets now with social media, I think I'm flirting at the idea of doing something special. It's going to be completely different, though. I won't lie to people. It's probably not going to be along the same lines as of a This Is Why I'm Hot or Like This, because I've just grown so much more as a human, and I have so much more information inside of me that I feel like I want to get out. So it may be a little different, so be on the lookout. Like, I think I might jump in and do something before the year ends. But, you know, it's definitely not going to be that same vibe that I gave in the past.
What about some Jamaican vibes? Some Jamaican vibes.
Yeah, so we might get a little bit of that for sure. For sure.
We got Birdo. Yeah. We got the homie Birdo and Sack. Birdo and Sack, what you got to say for the homie Mills?
Hey, man, this is Birdo, man. Appreciate you having us on. We're here with The Real Spill, man. So how do you feel? You know, obviously you put the hat on of an entrepreneur and just so successful in the rap game and, you know, in the history of hip-hop now with This Is Why I'm Hot and Like This and, you know, songs that have just touched us since, you know, I was a kid per se, right? So having that success and then having the success with your app, which one did you enjoy more, or which one had more of a impact on you, per se?
Two totally different emotions. You know, music, you know, becoming successful in the music industry is dope because that was a childhood dream of mine, right? So that was something that cultivated from childhood. I think when the tech thing happened, I equally enjoyed positioning myself there because that was one of those, you know, my proof to myself that I could step outside of that box and become bigger than what people expected from me. Because when you are an artist, people tend to always put you in that artist seat. And shout to the homie Scatterman, because I heard him speaking about his ventures that he was doing prior to him, you know, prior to me coming on the show. And I think that this is the most beautiful thing, man, that people got to start realizing, you know. Hip-hop was such a new genre when it first started that when you see artists come in and they disappear, the first thing people start saying is they fell off. And
I love to see my people in my culture and the people in my that are rocking out doing music. I love to see them kind of get away from the cameras and still be successful at things behind the scenes, because it's just a testament to show you that when you have the mind of an entrepreneur, that is something that you can bring to every facet of life, every single thing. So, Birdo, excellent question. I appreciate it. They were both as equal to me on the feelings side. And I will say this, like, the biggest thing for me now is not necessarily just being an entrepreneur. It's really just allowing myself time to just be a human. Because that's another side of it that people don't realize is, like, you know, we all living on borrowed time, man. We get about 4,000 weeks on average as a human to live. Mm. So the goal should really just be to spend your time wisely doing things that make you happy and bring positivity to people around you. So right now I'm in a place where it ain't really about no money. It ain't about fame. It ain't about anything other than just me waking up and being grateful and being able to spend another day just, you know, doing what I love and being around the people I love.
Excellent answer. That's an excellent answer. I represent New York. I put it on my back. Niggas just say we lost it, so I'm going to bring it back. You took some flack for that, no?
All the time. All the time. I had a line in there that said, I could sell a mill saying nothing on the track. And people hated that, especially from New York. You know, it's a gift and a curse, right? So I was frustrated with music at the time that I wrote that record. I was really frustrated because I'm like, yo, I'm this New York artist. I got bars, man. I'm spitting these bars. And then I got in the studio one day, and I don't know what I did. I could tell a story, but it's longer than it needed to be told. But the point is that I got on the mic and I started freestyling, and that's where the record came from. It came from a place of just freestyling, and then there was something about it that felt infectious. So whenever people would hear the lyrics, they'd be like, "Yo, there's something about that record I like." So the record was sent to DJ Blackout. DJ Blackout basically, you know, did his thing on the beat because he took the acapella from when I recorded it and just made it his own thing. And, you know, once again, it's the most simplistic record. So it happens to be my biggest release to date. But also, it's also, like, I don't want to say anti-New York, but it wasn't New York. Like, a lot of people thought I was from the South. So of course I got it.
Right.
I got it. You know, I got a lot of slack from it. I got a lot of slack for that
Slay,
record.
I think R.I.P. Slay. R.I.P. K. Slay. I think Slay Slay said, like, who is he? Who is he to bring? They say he bringing New York back. We got Papoose over here, some shit like that.
And possibly, you know, possibly shout to K. Slay. You know, rest in peace. Obviously, I think at that time it was me and Jim Jones. Jim had the We Fly High record, and I had the Hard Hot record. And we was two New Yorkers coming out of New York. And, you know, for me, my thing was, look, I get it. You know, I get where everybody wants to preserve certain things. And once again, I'm a fan of the culture, so I'm going to respect the culture. But I also know that when I go on that road and when I'm in LA and I'm in the Bay and I'm in the South and I'm in, you know, I'm in Texas and I'm in Chicago, that the sounds from these areas wasn't similar to New York. It wasn't even, I mean, even though the influence of hip hop comes from New York, yes, but the sound was so different that I had never heard people rap differently. It was dope to me. So I don't care what nobody says about what you're supposed to sound like. Because if you step out of your territory, I spend a lot of time in Korea and Japan. So if I get influenced by the music I hear in Korea and Japan, I should be allowed to experiment with it. And, you know, that's just what I did. And I'm actually proud of that experimentation. It's a gift and a curse, right? Because maybe I don't get the acceptance that I thought I needed from my own city. But eventually they came around because they had to, right? And I was happy about that. Like, I had to cave in the whole city for them to be like, you know what?
this dude went and did his thing outside. We got to support him now. And then the love came.
You did a song with KRS-One and Redman, right? So that, I mean, that would, you don't need no bigger stamp than that right there.
Exactly. And I think that was.
And probably other bigger name legends. Like, you know what I'm saying? Wade, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that that was the thing that people got misconstrued about me. It's like, yo, just because you hear this one simplistic record, it doesn't mean that I don't respect the culture. It just means you got to be able to step outside the box. I always appreciated two people. One was JD, Jermaine Dupri, because he came up to, you know, he defended me. He basically said, yo, you know, New York will say whatever they want, but Mims actually figured it out. And then also Jadis, I got to give him credit because he had that line in his song that said, why is everybody always mad at the South for, you know, don't be afraid to switch your style up and go South for something along the lines of that. And I feel like when people started accepting that, it just opened the doors a little bit more for people to be like, okay, cool. Like, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to be as harsh as we can. And I did it. I was representing my city everywhere. You know, like, I mean, you know, it wasn't like I was out there pretending to be from somewhere I wasn't. Like, when I was on the road, I was from New York, and people knew it.
Right.
You know, and when New York was in the building, we was there, and that was fine. So, you know, I the gift and the curse, but I love the journey.
Berto got another question. Berto, what's the question for Mims?
So, Mims, just to switch it up on you, man, you know, from the pandemic, guy was, you know, of course, listening, saying that was one of the first times you took a break from touring, but obviously something more profound on a personal level since, like you said, you are a human like the rest of us and everybody wants to put you in the artist seat. How much more has fatherhood has impacted your evolution or how lovely has that been?
Yeah, thank you, man. Great question. You know, I mean, and this goes out to every father in the world, in America. I feel like there's a point in life where fathers, and I think it's been said so many times, a lot of fathers don't get enough credit for being available and there. And, you know, you start to see it around Mother's Day. You start to see it around certain holidays. And it's not to take away from women, because there's women out there that are doing a fantastic job, but fathers just don't really get enough credit for being available. And for me, my son has been everything. He's been everything towards my understanding, right? So, you know, prior to him, I was more worried about, yo, I gotta keep food, or I gotta put bacon on the table, whatever however the saying goes. Like, I was more worried about what we talk about. Is, you know, I was more worried about going out there and getting the bag. And I had to kind of, you know, I had to realize that, and this is important, right? Like the currency that children appreciate has nothing to do with money. They just want time. They want affection. They want love. So when you start to understand this, and then you start to realize the most valuable currency, the most valuable currencies don't even come from money. Because you could look at a toddler or a 2-year-old and say to them, hey, man, I got to go out and get this $1 million, so I'll be back. They don't care about that. They like, yo, where's my dad? Where's my pops at? Like, why can't I get a hug when I want it? So I want to make sure that these currencies that my son needs as he's developing are there for him, those hugs, those kisses, those moments that, you know, that he can learn from. So everything, man. My son is the birth of my child has been everything toward changing my demeanor, and in a way softening me up, right? Because I used to be really militant and really like scheduled. So for me, it was, you know, where's my money? Where I'm going? Who am I going to see? What's the situation? You know, I'm gonna go in. I'm gonna get out. We're gonna move on to the next. And now I'm a little bit more relaxed. Like, yo, what's the scenario? What's the situation? How much time do I got to spend away from home? Okay, cool. Well, you know, I'll do something, but I'm not going to do all of it. You understand what I'm saying? Different vibe, different feeling, different emotion, and it's beautiful.
Well, how many kids you got, Mims?
I got one.
One time, started late.
Son, is it boy? It's a boy.
It's a boy. He's a boy. Yep.
How old is he?
He's gonna be 3 in 4 days, 5 days.
Well, son, we about to go on a 40 city tour. we go video chat, and we go bring home a nice young step. You know, like, you know, one thing you do once you come in and come in the door with them Paw Patrol toys and shit like that. Certainly they kind of get a little bit amnesia about some of the times when you wasn't there and you missed a few things. Is what
I'm sure.
You know, I got three kids. I'm three deep. My kids is old as shit at this point. But I've been 1995. You know what I'm saying? So I done missed a lot of things, you know, and I've made a lot of things, you know, because I said it earlier, the best present that you can, I said it during Christmas time, I posted on my thing on my Facebook, the best present you can bring for your kids is to be present. You know what I mean? That, you know, because you probably missed all kind of shit, just family members, camping trips, all kind of shit where the family is out there kicking it big, you know, having a great old time, and we out on the road doing what we got to do to live the dream and shit that we got going on. People don't understand that, the sacrifice that you got to make in order to make everybody's lives better and shit. But I know you know that, because to have a number one record and shit like that, I know your schedule was out of hand. You know what I mean? So to be in a space where you are right now. Go ahead.
No, sorry about that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm listening.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Hell no. Go ahead.
No, I said I got an easy way to explain it, man. If somebody tells you that when you go to space and you're an astronaut, that the time is going to slow down for you, but it's going to speed up for everyone else, that's the life of an artist. By the time you get back, you know, like, let's say 15 years passed, but it don't feel like nothing's passed for you. Come back, and you're the same person, but everybody's life is different. Came up, you got homies that got married, had a bunch of kids. You know, you got people that are passing on you. So I feel like, yeah, you as an artist, you've missed so much. And you're right, like, the best present you can get is being present. And that's not everybody's case. And I recognize that, and I'm sensitive to the idea that some of us as men, we got to go out and get out. But that's also why I say men don't get enough credit, you know, because we have to play that role. And sometimes while we're playing that role, you know, things get lost in translation. It makes it feel like a father's not around when they're actually out there, you know, trying to provide. So my advice is basically like, yo, if you have the ability to, you know, to go out there and get that bacon, that's great. You know, and if you also have the ability, you know, to take some time out and say, you know what, I'm going to pay you in a different currency today, which is time, attention, love. I feel like, you know, my son is not even 3 and he's already reading, you know, he's already picking up books and he's literally reading it word for word. And, you know, that human interaction, it's just amazing. So yeah, I mean, nah, for sure, Omizi, you know, like I know, like that road life is a life. It's a different life, you know, different life.
I got the homie Big Grip on here. He just dropped a single today. I'm featured on there. We're doing a show 420 here in Sac. So Big Grip, you on here, brother? You know, he on your same time. So he might have dozed off. Okay. I thought about it. You would have rolled a blunt or something and just dozed off in the chair or something. You got a question for the homie Mills?
Yeah, what's up with it, Mills, man? You've been a big inspiration in the hip-hop game for a minute, my guy. You know what I'm saying?
Big Grip, what's good?
I mean, slow motion, poster like a poster, you dig? Yeah, man, like, your jam was always in the club, had us up in there crumping. I ain't going to even lie, it even started up a couple fights, too, with the hoods. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, now, this is why I'm hot. Yeah, man, I mean, but, like, on some real, I came in, like, halfway through the situation, you know what I'm saying, through the conversation. Like, what really turned you off of being like mainstream, where, you know what I'm saying, on top, where you're supposed to be, man? In the music game,
you know
that part.
If you asked me that question 15 years ago, it would be a different answer from now. I think 15 years ago, I would have said, you know, I'm not going to allow anyone to use me in a negative light. But the truth is, 15 years later, I feel like everything we do as humans, we end up where we're supposed to be. I do a lot of work in the tech space as it relates to music. One of the things that I'm working on now is trying to build more transparency, right? So there's this technology called blockchain technology. Like, a lot of people know it from cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin. I'm not going to nerd out the conversation, but the truth is that I've learned so much about being robbed in the music industry that it pushed me into learning how to fix these problems. So my goal in life right now is to create the technology that fixes the problems that we all experience. What turned me off then was getting robbed, but that getting robbed pushed me to exactly where I needed to be, which is right here, you know, having this discussion with artists who are dropping music to say that that at some point in time we're going to create a technology that allows you to have full transparency when you drop records, to know where your money's coming from, to know how you're getting paid, to not have to worry about how to register something the proper way, because, you know, it's all going to be pretty much, you know, systematic. So yeah, I mean, I hope that answers your question, but I like, a lot of things push me into not wanting to be mainstream. Nowadays I enjoy my privacy. I enjoy people not knowing what I'm doing or not knowing where I'm at. But the goal for me, but the goal for me is still to help out and push the culture forward and create something in my industry, that can help the future artists.
The app is called Recordgram.
So the app that I previously worked on was called Recordgram. Then we pivoted the name to Creator App. The first app I ever got behind. But what I do now is something different. So like, I'm doing the stuff that I do now is not even an application form. It's a lot more behind the scenes technology. So basically think, you know, like you'll use something, but you won't realize that the software that I'm creating is even involved in it. You know, you just know that the app, that whatever I'm doing works, and you're getting paid, and essentially that's what I'm working on. Those type of applications.
That's amazing. Well, I truly appreciate you, brother. I can't wait till we hit the road. Is there anything you'd like to tell the people besides your social media and everything you got going on in the future? Is there anything you want to, any game, any tidbits you want to tell the people, motivational wise or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, once again, man, time is the most important commodity. You know, time, love, interaction is the most important commodity, man. Love the people you around. Surround yourself around people who love you. Give your energy to those people in a positive manner. I'm not even here trying to be preachy. I'm just saying, like, you know, a lot of people give their energy to negativity. And in return, they wake up and they're in a bad mood and they're cranky, man. I've really learned that in my life. I operate the best when I can wake up and I just got a positive mind frame. So, you know, I appreciate you for putting me on this platform, Big Ol' Meezy, and I'm looking forward to getting on that open road and, you know, and tearing things down and just having some fun. But bigger than that, man, like everybody on this call, everybody that called in and everybody that's listening, you know, I'm just wishing that whatever it is in life that you want, that's, you know, that you have the opportunity to get it, man. That's it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And what's your social media that you usually check?
Yeah. I'm not the best on social, but everything I think I have is under Mims Life, MIMSLIFE. I'll say this. It's always been my life goal to get in position and then literally just disappear. And I'm still on
That's
track
hard.
For doing that. I mean, I know,
That's
I respect
hard.
That people, you know, so like my real goal is you know, one day when you know, like the respect will always be there, but you know, I'm gonna be somewhere where, you know, I'm not on anybody's radar, but I'm still living good and I'm happy. Like, and that's still the goal. That was the goal when I came in, and that's the goal when I'm going out.
That's hard. Well, man, I appreciate you, man. Like I said, I can't wait till we hit that road. I know it's dumbass late because it was 8, 9, 10, 11, damn near 12 o'clock midnight over where you are, right?
Yeah, but it's all good, man.
But you know what?
I
looked at it like this. I said, you know, if the what's your hold on. First of all, what's your basketball team?
I mean, I'm a Knicks fan by nature, but I watch all the sports. But the truth is, we're not doing too bad over here. So.
Okay. I'm just saying, yeah, y'all actually doing pretty real good. I know that if you're playing the Lakers. Is seventh and they in LA that you have no choice but to watch them till about midnight,
yeah.
Right?
exactly.
So that's being on the East Coast. That's the one thing because I know we can watch y'all's games at 7:30. Y'all got to watch our game at 10:30.
Yep, and
so I took that
into my parlays.
Yeah, I said he probably watch hoops, so you know he gonna be up. You dig?
Yeah, for anybody in Vegas, best believe when I throw them parlays and I'm up till 2 a.m. sometimes, seeing what the outcome.
Oh, him gambles. Gambles. Okay. We found him vice.
There you go.
I appreciate it, brother. Man,
I
ain't gonna hold
that,
like
brother.
Hey, like they say in the East Coast, we ain't gonna hold you, brother. We truly appreciate you, man. Hey, it's Mims, man. Let's give him another round of applause for coming through the Real Spill Show.
Appreciate you.
Oh boy. Hey, when we come back, we're gonna play this new music, this new Big Grip. You know what I'm talking about? The shit. Hey. It's the Real Spill Show. Y'all hang tight, man. We'll be right back.
Yo, what up? This is Droopy, and you listening to the Real Spill Show with my family member, Big Ol' Meezy.
I took myself out of the game, my bad. Get somewhere. You know, you're perking off this Ducey. Hey, Grip, what's up with you, player?
What's a great communicator. Let me know what's happening, Pimpy.
I got the intern is in here on Duce, and he over here fucking off my, you know what I'm saying, my schedule and shit like that. He distracted me like a distracted driver. But we got this new record out right now. We speak up on the microphone. Just came out today, right? Speak to the people.
That's
and let
right.
them know what it is.
What's happening with it, man? It's your boy Grip, Big Grip, Grip the Body Rocker, straight up out of Cleveland. You feel me? Hey, man, I got this new joint right now. It's called Shit. The acronym for that is Shit Humbles You Through Time. And who else to get better on this joint with me than Big Ol' Meezy? You feel what I'm saying? Man, I heard my cat spit, man. Him, you know what I'm saying? DJ Manny Faces, they was up there kicking logic to each other, man. And I just happened to be on that call, and I had to have him on this track, man. You know what I'm saying? Somebody that can spit some sense and spit some facts. You know what I'm saying? To match that energy. And, hey, we laid it out, man. We've been getting thumbs up all the way around the board since it didn't drop. So, I mean,
well, let's get into it. It's brand new music. It's called Shit. It's Big Grip featuring Big Ol' Meezy, and it's the Real Spill Show. Let's get into it.
Yeah. You know, there's going to be some things in your life that change your whole demonstration. But whatever you do, keep it 100 with yourself and with your team. You dig? One. If I shed tears for a bitch, I'm on my own, just me and my shit. Money on my mind, got no time for your shit. Gotta stay on, you're grinding here to live. Can't get tricked off the street or on the bridge. Be your man and do your own shit. Back against the wall, but I'm dealing with the shit. I ride alone, yeah. On my hustle.
hold some extra muscle. In case niggas wanna touch. I'ma bust for to get a chance to blast first. I'm a cutthroat. Guess you ain't learned from the last verse. Lyrical assassins, I always put in work. Niggas always asking how I get it out the dirt. I do this with a passion, and I know my work. The streets was a passage, I turned it to my purpose. I feel blessed, other times I feel cursed. There seem too many of my niggas carried in a hearse. And if I had the power, then time would be reversed. And we'd be back on the block with the time, make the money work. But that is just a dream, and to me, that would hurt. So I'ma pour some liquor out for my niggas in the earth. This some shit we all deal with since the day of birth. Names tatted on the flesh, faces sprayed on my shirt. I miss how they put my sweaty tears in this shit. Be damn if I shed tears for a bitch. I'm on my own, just me and my shit. Money on my mind, got no time for your shit. Gotta stay on, it's right ahead of me. Can't get tricked off the street on the bricks. Be on me and do your own shit. Back against the
big
wall,
old man.
But I'm dealing with the
shit.
Pain and anguish, man, it's off the chain. I'm going through some things that I could barely explain. But on the surface, it's all roses and sunny days. I'm feeling every emotion, about to go insane. 5150 is litty, shitty, and sorrow this way. And all they say is it's gonna be alright and you'll be okay. Fuck what they talking about, I wanna scream and shout. Like, do you understand the words that's coming out my mouth? It can make you get heartless, even deadly your soul. So much negativity is really taking its toll. Gotta pick myself off the ground, refocus, gather my strength. G.O.D. is in charge, struggle can teach you some shit. Obstacles and hurdles, what a bumpy road. Stay focused on the task and watch the blessing unfold. Me and Big Grip gon' keep it going for a better way. Get up and go get it, each and every day. How they put my sweaty tears in this shit. Be damn if I shed tears for a bitch. I'm on my own, just me and my stick. Money on my mind, got no time for your shit. Gotta stay on, it's brand new here to live. Can't get tricked off the street or on the bricks. Be on me and do your own shit. Back against the wall, but I'm dealing with the shit. How they put my sweaty tears in this shit. Be damn if I shed tears for a bitch. I'm on my own, just me and my stick. Money on my mind, got no time for your shit. Gotta stay on, it's right in here to live. Can't get tricked off the street or on the bricks. Be on me and do your own shit. Back against the wall, but I'm dealing with the shit.
Yeah, you know, stuff humbles you sometimes. Shit do too. Whatever you do, keep it a hundred. Keep it true. You know.
Yo, what's good with it? It's the almighty EA Ski on the Real Spill Show with the homie, the big old Meezy.
Hold on. Man, that's a slap right there, Ripper.
Yeah,
that's a slap right there, brother. Yeah, man. So, look, we got this show coming up. Was it 420, right? Sacramento, California.
Yeah, this is on the beginning of the tour.
It's gonna be a grand affair, and we're gonna be shooting that video to that song, man. So if y'all in Sacramento area, y'all make sure y'all get your tickets, go up on the homie Woo-Wop, and he gonna have the link, and I'm gonna be posting the link pretty soon, and we're gonna get out there and we're gonna put down a demonstration.
Come on, man, we coming out to show the city love, man. That's what we do.
Yes, sir. So yeah, man, I appreciate you, man. Tell everybody your social media and how they can get in contact with you,
man. Instagram, DA_RealBig_Grip. Grip the Body Rocker TV on YouTube. Grip the Body Rocker on Facebook. Just Google me. GRIPDABODYROCKA. Y'all find me. I ain't hard to find.
Oh, boy. DB. GB, you still asleep?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm still woke, man. I'm enjoying it, man. I appreciate it.
I know you're about three. I know you're about what you about 3 hours. You two 3 hours ahead, right?
Two hours. Two.
I tell Mims, I said, man. I said, you know, I earlier I was like, because I know we three hours at least. Yeah, I said, bro, you need me to preview. He's like, nah, I got it, bro, because you know, we do the preview. You know, I like to, you know what I mean? I like to work with the talent, make sure that we, you know, do what we got to do. You feel me?
Yes,
of course,
sir.
For everybody who's listening, you like, if everybody listening, you know, it's 8:45 because we overtime. This, you know, it's an hour show. We turned, you know, I knew it was going to be some gaming, so I knew we had to turn it up and and put it in perspective. You smell me? Birdo going to kill me. Let me bring Birdo in. Birdo going to kill me if we don't talk about them Sacramento Kings before we get up out of here, man. You know, we out here like
man,
and
hey.
Shit like that. Man,
first and foremost, before we light that beam, you know what I mean, I want to give a shout out to this special young lady named Alani Sky, my beautiful daughter. Her team, the Green Haven Fire, did their thing and won the championship on Sunday in that lovely rain. And also to her dance group, The Blueprint, which won their division for a hip-hop dance team. And then they won the Hype Award for just getting the crowd the most hyped. But now let's get back to those Sacramento Kings, baby. We're third in the Western Conference. You know, number one in the Pacific Division. We just took care of them, Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. So, once again, light the beam, baby, the beam team. So, you know, what do you guys think? It's the first resurgence we have since, you know, the early 2000s with the Bibbies and the Christies and the Webbers. What you thinking about the team, Omizi?
I don't know. All I know is I seen that game when it was like 147 to 146, and I seen Testa Fortitude, Grit. I just seen a team, and they was talking big Bronco even after the game. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when you see him and Mike Brown is up for Coach of the Year because he's been doing his thing, and you know, I'm not gonna get, you know, too, you know, because when you start getting cocky and shit, it's like. It's like the Lake Show. As soon as the Lake Show started winning some games, Bron got hurt. So, you know, I'm just gonna sit back and watch the game unfold and, you know, we for sure finna be in the playoffs. And we haven't been to the playoffs in many moons.
Man, absolutely. But the thing that's killing me is these Laker fans that talking about they gonna play us in the first round already. They got to get into the playoffs. We number 3 and they 13. You know, they go on a little run all of a sudden. Oh, I can't wait to go to the Golden One Center and buy tickets for the Lakers against the Kings. Well, man, we'll be waiting, okay? Because we're most likely going to be the one seed in the Pacific Division. So, you know, bring it on. LeBron's got to heal, and they hope they got to have a chance. They already lost tonight, so I don't know, man. It's going to be tough treading for them. And for us, we're just on cruise control. We won tonight with no De'Aaron Fox. You know, we rested him back to our conversation.
What we do?
Yeah. Oh, we just whooped on OKC, decided to give De'Aaron Fox a little rest.
And what happens when we win?
Oh, you got to light the beam, baby.
Why not?
When I walk the city, I'ma rock the baby. Got a classic leather with a classic weather. I'm on top of shit like Stojakovic. Too fast, 55. White chocolate. I got game like Fox, baby. I got D like Mitchell. We gon' play this game, baby. Till they blow that whistle. We fly. Silver Surfer, hey. I'm behind the paint, Kevin Hurd. Hey, pass the ball on my dope. I'm oh, I'm to the rim like Sabonis. Look at my feet when I dunk. Y'all can't play like Mum. What you mean? Black and purple, we the kings. Like the bang, like the bang.
Aye.
Team popped out, they won't stop staring. Putting numbers on the board, I'm the yearn. Look up at the scoreboard, they embarrassing. Running through my city, I ain't never needed clearance. Like light bars, the way the 40 getting carried. Tip top, I'ma keep my spot, I ain't sharing them. They neglect us like they didn't want to hear it. Now we making them respect us when we making our parents. Like, full court pressure. 100 G sitting on the front seat of the Tesla. They ask me why we so aggressive. Fake things they put out excessive, and my time is of the essence. Got a whole game, we back. Got gang for the flames, got flame on wax. At 02 Kings, let's rewind that back. On your television screen, all you see is Shaq.
That's the homie, 95 mil, my young partner. Got that song, Light the Beam, you smell me. I had somebody just call and say he want to talk sports. What's up with you, player?
Man, ain't nothing cooler sitting outside drinking.
I rarely hear people talking, like doing
Kings talk, so I stopped and listened for a minute. Y'all talking about the Kings. I'm like, man, let me jump in with them for a quick second.
You a Kings fan?
No, I'm just an NBA fan, but, you know, I watch them a lot because they've been so good this year. But
yeah,
that Light the Beam, that might be the best gimmick going in sports, man. That Light the Beam is serious. And you got to think about this not from your perspective, but from a kid perspective. Kids don't care about tradition. They care about what they see and grow with. So if the Kings franchise changes again, and becomes, you know, like they are now, they're going to grow up with the idea of that beam after wins. Like, dog, that's going to be huge going forward, man. Like, this is a big change.
Yeah, it's like a permanent thing that I can't see going away no time soon because, just like you said, it's a huge gimmick and it involves winning. You know, it motivates the people to want to, first of all, it motivates the fans to want to show up to watch a game, because at the end of the day, when we walk outside the venue and you see that big beam coming up out that glorious ass building, it's like it make you feel some type of way. You know what I mean? Regardless of where you are in the city, so I feel you where you're coming from. Do you have a team or no?
Nah, I just watch the league, man. I ain't really no fan of a team like that. Y'all stole Kevin Hurt from down here in Atlanta though, but. It's like, dude, somebody going to steal that beam. Like, another team, another org, another sport, they're going to steal that because it's such a good idea. But what we found out with y'all, a Fox and a Halliburton can't exist in the same space. And they had the nuts to move that boy Halliburton, who is really, really good, balled out tonight, and flipped him for Sabonis, and y'all was on the run ever since. Like, bro, y'all are fun to watch. I like this team. I want to see what they do.
Birdo, you hear, man, you feel me?
Yeah, I do. I hear him, and that's why we realized De'Aaron's still here in second. We got Halliburton all the way over there in Indiana with Buddy Hield, right? So you got. I understand you. You know, the thing is I'm a big NBA fan also, and the gimmick. You know, you guys, what the Light the Beam became a place of worship at one point, according to Google. So. You know, it's going to be a huge thing. And with this young team that we have, it's just years to come of now it's going to turn into light up the world. You know, who knows?
Uh-oh. See, there you go, putting that pressure
just
on.
Just wait till people start fighting. Y'all ain't going to like it.
You see how he put the whole world on it? See, I don't like that. I like pressure. Don't ever get it twitted. But he's just talking about we're going to light the world up, like the, you know, hands across America and shit.
Nah, they flew back. But it's good. They playing with no pressure, man. You know what I mean? Nothing is expected. They did what they did. So they're going to be playing loose in the playoffs, dog. They ain't got Denver the one who's going to be tight. The Lakers the one who's scared.
You hear Fox say, we don't give a F who we play.
Big facts.
And you know what's so cold is that when the Kings dropped the promo, they did not bleep him out. They left it just like that. Because they like it. You know, we got somebody, you know, VVAC, and we got people that really, you know, hey, man, we know what it feel like to be mildew, and now we out here barbecuing, and you know what I'm saying? And like I said, you never know with the NBA. Everybody was just talking about the Lakers, and they can make a push, and next thing you know, LeBron get hurt. You know, and that's my favorite player. Don't ever get it twitted. Like right now, that's my favorite player, him and Shaq. But you never know what's going to happen in this game. You know, somebody get hurt.
For somebody that
you know,
old.
Exactly.
You can't just.
Right.
You can't just
assume
they're going to be available every night. Like, shout out to them, like you said. But that's a lot to ask of somebody, man. That dude 38 years
that's
old.
That's real.
Like, come on, man.
That's real.
Come on.
Yeah, and that's first time when I seen him post on his Instagram, he's like damn, and he put the tears and shit. I was like damn, he really, you know, you don't do that unless you really know that you really. Because he was on the ground and everybody know what type of dude he is, LeBron. We talking about and when he said he felt the pop, it's like we see LeBron twist his ankle, lace his shoes up tighter, get back in the game. We're not used to dude get, you know, and when he hurt his groin, that's one thing, but we're not used to him just, you know, because just like with Kobe, as soon as you start getting him injuries and shit like that, it's a ripple effect when you get older, like you said, bro. It's like, you know, but, you know, shout out to LeBron, man. I wish him a speedy recovery regardless of whom or what. I want the band to be back on the court. You know, if we go against the Lakers, I want the Lakers to be at full staff, because if they don't get Bron back, we're going to bust their ass. I'm just telling you right now. Don't ever get it twisted. You know,
yeah, but the hard part about that, even if Bron do get back, you're still rolling the dice with AD and his health. So, I mean, if they make the play.
Glass? You talking about Glass?
Season
Glass?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You talking
but
about
even
Mr. Glass?
With that, though, he's – Mr. Glass still one of them guys, though. I think he had like 20,
no,
25
he is,
nights. Like he one of them guys.
No, he is.
But
no, he is. But I'm gonna be honest with you. Man. You watched him play tonight, right? You seen him get dunked on, and then you seen him get the shit blocked out of him.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. We gotta watch them. Them replays, man. Because I'm gonna tell you what's real. That boy got dunked on like out of hand. And then old boy blocked the shit out of him. Like, he just blocked me, blocked the shit out of him. So, you know what I'm saying? What's your name again, family?
Yeah, it's Naj, man. But, yeah, man,
I just want you to know.
I check out with y'all next time y'all on, man. It's all good.
Yeah, man, I just want you to know, anytime you want to come on and talk that talk, man, this is the place for it right now, every Tuesday at this same time, man. It's a real spill show. I just want you to know and tell a friend. Thank you, brother.
All right, man.
Yes, sir. All right, so let's bring – hey, Birdo, GB, man, another successful show. We're going to try to get better for y'all every week, man. Every week we're going to try to get better. We're going to try to up the tone. We're going to try to get better guests. And just keep y'all informed. It's every in different subjects. You know what I mean? That's where we at with it. So it's the real thrill
sure,
show. We'll
sure.
see y'all next week.
Yes,
tap in.
Yee.
Tap in. And with this last 50 seconds, I just want to say that life is not promised, man. Live every day to the fullest degree, regardless if it's sunny outside, regardless if it's raining outside. Be the best example that you could be and go out there in them streets and in them turfs and wherever you are and be the best example you could be. You feel me? We had a good show. We had, you know, great artists come in and say their perspective. And, you know, we did our thing, man. Shout out to GB. Shout out Birdo. Shout out Man. Shout out Scatterman. Shout out my boy Joe Millionaire coming through. Man, shout out everybody. Shout out yourself. And with this last 10 seconds, we'll see y'all. It's the Real Spill Show. Outlaw.